Let's look together at John chapter 11. We've been studying the I Am statements of Jesus through a series called I Am, Knowing the Jesus We Love. And we come to a very famous statement, a very powerful statement of Jesus today. I am the resurrection and the life. And as we look at this text, if you read, especially before and after, you'll see that this is a line of text where people are questioning Jesus. They're questioning Jesus in several ways. Lord, why didn't you come? Lord, can you do this? It's almost an inquisition sequence of the Lord. Sometimes we think that we shouldn't question God. And I know the sense of that, and I know the healthy version of that. But Jesus here shows, as he walks this road, that he opens himself up on purpose to the questions, the uncertainties of the people around him, the people that he loves. He loves these people. They're asking with honest hearts. They're asking with openness. They're curious and trying to figure this out. And Jesus doesn't hide from that. I hope in the church that we have that attitude. I hope in our life groups we have an attitude of it's okay to question, to examine and to see the scriptures and to ask about the Lord with honest, with true and sincere hearts. That's what Jesus allows his people to do here. This is a most loving scene, if you think about it. Because Jesus, shortly after what we read today, will be walking the road to the cross. There will be lots of questions. And in one of his final acts of love, he allows those whom he loves to have the answers. As they watch him be crucified, as they look toward the resurrection, he gives them some final answers, some sense of certainty about himself in what he does here with a friend of his who's died, named Lazarus. And as we look at this, I want you to remember one more thing. I want you to remember that even though this scene is far removed from us, it's a few thousand years old. It's in the Middle East, in a different geography, in a different climate, in a different language. It can seem sometimes like another world or a fantasy. The questions that Jesus opens himself up to here are questions that are not distant from us. They still today in 2019 are very close to our hearts. Jesus is answering questions for those he loves then, but I promise you, he's answering questions of your heart, of our hearts, here today. There's some questions that he wants to be answered. My little boy Jackson, when he was much younger, he used to ride the lawnmower with me. When he was first born, he rode in a little pouch when I mowed the yard. But later on, we got a little riding mower, a secondhand Murray, and we rode it around the yard, and our backyard was steep, and I had him, you know, perched up here on my leg, and we were riding, and the clutch brake on the lawnmower went out. And so we went bouncing down the yard into the woods, got tangled up in a big mess of briars, and the lawnmower turned over on its side. You know, I was able to get Jackson and hop off just at the right moment. It was epic, if you will, but just at the right moment, I jumped off and landed there and had him in my hand, but I was still kind of straddling the wheel, and briars were everywhere. And Jackson said, "Dad, why did you do that?" I said, "Well, son, I didn't mean to. You know, it was an accident." He said, "How was it an accident?" I said, "Well, the clutch brake broke here." "Why did it break?" "Well, I don't know, buddy." He said, "Well, what are you going to do, you know?" I said, "Well, I'm going to try to get us out of here, you know. I'm trying not to get burned on the muffler." And he said, "Dad?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Why are you bleeding?" I said, "Well, I'm bleeding because of these briars." It was about that time I realized I needed to gather myself, you know, or I was about to lose it, you know. All the questions, you know, that came, you know, right there in that heat of the moment. And Jesus is in a moment that is about to reach a fever pitch. It is about to it's about to be the pinnacle of all creation, of all time and existence, the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has said that the worst day in all of human history, of all of any history, was followed 3 days later by the best day in all of history. That's where this is. And Jesus, as a patient and loving brother and God, he stands beside us and he patiently lets his people ask some questions. We're going to read this together. Verse 17 of chapter 11, Jesus' friend Lazarus has died. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them about their brother, Lazarus. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection." And in my vision of this, I see Jesus saying it just like that. As Martha comes and is slightly dismissive, "Your brother will rise again." "Okay, Jesus, here we go on that last day stuff. Oh, I get it." Jesus says, "Wait a second." He almost intrudes into her. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Skipping to verse 32. Now when Mary came, Lazarus' other sister, to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved. The word here is shaken about. Like a barrel of contents that's just disrupted and everything's mixed up and turned upside down. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, Jesus wept. You've wept before. It's not pretty. It's not contained. So the Jews were looking at this. They said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Some of them mocked him. And moving to verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, did not I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that it is you who sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out. His hand and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Don't you think it must have been surreal for Jesus to be standing there? A cave and a stone and a dead man wrapped in linens. For Jesus to know that God had granted the power to bring death to life, and knowing that in just a few days, and not long at all, that it would be him in the tomb, him who was wrapped up, it would be him who was behind that heavy stone. What do you think must have been going through his mind as he stood there? What must have been going through the minds of his followers? I think Jesus knew, and he wanted them to know a few things about himself. He Here's the questions I think we answer in this text. The first one is this: where were you? This is a question that is not unique to the people of that day. This is a question that maybe everyone here has at some time or another asked of God. God, where were you? If you had been here, my brother would not have died, Martha said. Mary came and said the same thing a little bit later. God, where were you? I know you're powerful, Lord. I know you can do. I know you see all things. Why didn't you come? This is a question that the psalmist asked over and over. In his agony at times, David and other writers would say, God, attend to my need. God, aren't you God? God, are you asleep? Awaken from your slumber, Lord. Come to my aid. Jesus, where were you? God, where are you? I was a little boy. I had what we called then a big wheel. Anybody know what a big wheel is? Okay. It had one big wheel, and then the back had two smaller, wider wheels. You sat down on it. It had a big handlebar. And we lived on a driveway, a tall driveway, a long, steep driveway. And I would get up to the top of that driveway and get on my big wheel. It was Dukes of Hazzard big wheel. And I would set off down that driveway and get, you go so fast. You know what it's like when your feet get knocked off the pedals. I mean, you're going so fast, you just can't keep up. And all of a sudden, you're just, you know, riding down the hill. I'd get almost to the road, and I would yank those handlebars to the side and slide sideways and kick up all the dust. It was awesome, okay? When you're a kid, you're a little boy, and you're able to do something like that, you remember it. So after I got to the bottom and did my little spin and stopped right before I entered the street, I was at the bottom of my hill looking up. That's a lot less fun, okay? When you're at the bottom of that long hill and you're on a big wheel and you don't want to push it up, and I knew a little bit about God. I knew that he was strong. He could do anything he wanted. I knew that he could see everything, that he knew everything, that he's all powerful. And so I began to get in the habit of praying to God at the bottom of the hill. God, will you please push me up the hill? Right? That sounds funny and silly, but you know, if you think about it logically, as a little boy, as a child, that the logic is intact. It's there. God, you can. God, you know. God, you hear. God, you see. And the big question mark is, will you do? Right? I have to tell you, he never did. He never pushed me up the hill. But if he had, I would love to tell you about it today. You want God to do certain things when you're little, and especially when you're big, those things become so much more weighty, I guess. So much more important. The matters become dire in some sense. We stand there and we look to God and we say, God, where are you? God, where were you? And so let's look at where Jesus was when Lazarus died. He was in the wilderness. He was near the place that John the Baptist had baptized. If you look a few verses back, you could see that. But he was at a physical place. And someone came to him and said, Lazarus is sick. So let's look at this in verses 4 and 5 of the same chapter. Chapter 11, verses 4 and 5. They come to him and they tell him that, hey, things are bad. Jesus, when he heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place that he was. This does not calculate. This should not calculate to our minds. Jesus is there. He hears of the illness. He's not that far away. He says, listen, this thing that's happening, it's for the glory of God. And so the Son of God could be glorified. It's for glory. It's for God's purposes. Now, Jesus loved Martha and his sister and her sister and Lazarus. So he leapt up and rushed to their side. No. He loved them so, okay, you know what the word so means. So he stayed 2 days longer in the place that he was. How can it be that allowing Lazarus to die, glory of God, the glorifying the Son of God, that all this can be related to him loving them? I just tell you today, it is. Now, I want you to know this morning that we can't always see it, but the purposes of God, many times the unseen purposes of God, the glory of God, and his love for you are always related, okay? They're always related. How could it be that you love us, but you let him die? I don't know the answer to that. I really don't all the time. How can it be that God, I was the one for this promotion. It got shut down, God. How is that? Because you love me. I don't know the answer to that. Sometimes in down the road, we get to see the answer. But sometimes we don't. And sometimes we won't until eternity. But Jesus gives us an example here. When we cry out to God, Jesus, if you had just been here, God, where are you? I want you to be certain this morning as you leave from here, whatever you're facing in life, God, when will it be our turn? God, why? God, when? God, where? That his purposes and his love for you are not two different things. They're the same thing, okay? And God always acts with a purpose. He's always acting with a purpose. He loved them, so he hung out for a couple more days. The glory of God was going to be a benefit to those that he loved. And he knew it. He knew that seeing God's glory would be a better benefit than having Lazarus with them for that time. God, where are you? Second question is this. Do you care? Verse 33 and 35 are amazing verses. Don't ever forget these verses. As Jesus, the Son of God, given from heaven, walking this earth, he sees them weeping, and he sees the Jews who come with her also weeping, and he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And then in verse 35, we see that Jesus himself wept. Was Jesus just a divine spectator of all these things? Did he just come from heaven and hang out like the ghost of Christmas past and casually observe these matters? Was he like a spiritual tourist unaffected by the things of this world? No. Jesus comes and he sees and he loves and he knows and he experiences. And when he hurts, when he sees you and me hurting, he looks there. He's greatly troubled. And he mourns. He weeps in that moment. His spirit is deeply moved. You can't do that all the time from a distance. My little girl Olivia plays with Legos, and I may get in trouble for telling this, but she plays with Legos, and we all do. We all play with Legos, not just Olivia, all of us kids. And she was building a sky bed, which is a bed, apparently, anybody? In the sky, right. And so to get to the sky bed, the little Lego guy needed some stairs to go up to the sky bed. And so she had it out on the floor there, and every time she would get the stairs going, they would fall apart. And it grew more and more frustrating. You could look on her face, and you could see just the teeth grinding, and you could eventually see the tears begin to flow. This was a frustrating moment. And me as a dad, she's down on the floor. I'm way up here walking around. I walked by a few times. I said, honey, it's just a toy, right? It's just a toy, baby. You shouldn't be having this reaction. And eventually I thought, well, I'll just get down and help her. So I got down there with her on the ground. I said, here, I'm going to help you build these stairs to the sky bed. I started putting them together, and there they fell apart, right? I tried different methods of my engineering prowess and tried to fit it together, and over, it started falling apart. I want you to know, before long, it was my teeth that were grinding, okay? There were tears streaming down my face, you know. Not really, but anyway, I began to feel what she was feeling. I never felt it when I was up here in my stratosphere walking around dismissing what she was doing. Oh, baby, it's just a toy. Oh, baby, you don't need to get so upset. But when I was able to get down where she was, when I was able to be with her and put my hands to the things that she was laying her hands to, all of a sudden I began to feel it just like she did. I began to react. Did Jesus come down and he was merely just God dressed up in a little costume of humanity? And passive and, you know, spectating observer of all that we have to endure? No. Jesus, if we ask him the question, do you care? We see that he cares. Do you understand? We see that he understands. He was deeply moved, and he wept there at the grave. There is nowhere this morning, listen now, there is nowhere you'll go. There's nowhere you have gone. There's nowhere you are going that Jesus' love has not driven him to go there already. He is a God who knows. He's a God who understands. God, where are you? Jesus, do you care? We've got the answers to those. But also, Jesus, are you for real? Are you for real, Jesus? Verses 24 and through 26. Martha comes to him and asks what is the pivotal question of this whole section. Says, you know, if you had been here, Jesus, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus says, listen, he's going to rise again. He will live again. And Martha kind of dismissively says, you know, I know he'll rise again on the last day. Okay, Jesus. But Jesus said to her, no, you're missing it. I am the resurrection and the life. That's a powerful answer that Jesus gives as he interjects there. Martha appears to be dismissive, like Jesus is just kind of reheating some old Jewish belief, kind of putting in the microwave some old stuff that nobody really has been buying into for a long time. Jesus, is this just something old? Jesus says, no, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the one that's here. You remember when your mom or dad used to say, we'll see? You'd say, hey, can we go do this? And they'd say, we'll see, right? Let me ask you kids a question in the front row. When your mom or dad, you ask them, can you do something, or can you get a toy, or can you get, and they say, we'll see. Does that more mean yes, or does that more mean no? You better stop asking. That's a better answer. I guess God might sometimes say that too. I don't know, but you better just stop asking. Yeah, we used to get Swedish fish at Sears, had a candy counter. You go to the candy counter at Sears, and they would dip it in, serve it to you in a bag. They had Swedish fish. Me and my brother and sister, we loved it. We'd be running errands. We'd say, Mom, can we go and get some Swedish fish at the candy counter at Sears? If she said, we'll see, we knew, it's a long shot, okay? Now, this is what Martha's doing here. She is behaving as if Jesus had said, we'll see. Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother, he wouldn't have died. Well, you know, at last days and resurrection and just keep hoping on that old stuff. It's not what Jesus says. He says, no, I'm not going to let you live in that type of myth. I'm here and I am the resurrection and the life. See, Jesus is not only a messenger of life. He didn't just come to tell about it. He's not only a dispenser of life. He is the source of life. Do we see that today? He is the source of life. That's why he answers the question, anyone who believes in me, anyone who comes to me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me, the resurrection and the life, shall never die. Do you believe this? It all pivots on, do you know Jesus? Have you realized the truth that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Jesus, are you for real? Or is this just some baked over old stuff again? Jesus looks us in the face. He says, no, it's me. You know it. It's me. I'm the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, I'll be your guarantor. I'll be the one who backs up all the promises of God. Last question is this. Can you do it? Can you do it? See, Jesus always does miracles from the lesser to the greater. He'll do a miracle that seems really great to point to a greater thing. And so when he raises Lazarus from the dead, this is not a standalone miracle. It is a miracle, a voucher miracle, where Jesus says, I have said that in the last day, that those who believe in me, there will be a resurrection. There will be. I tell you today that there's going to be a resurrection. When Jesus comes back for the church will be had by Jesus. The church will resurrect. We will be with the Lord bodily. Okay? There will be a resurrection. But in order that she and others there may believe this thing about the last days, about heaven and eternal life, Jesus says, I'm going to vouch for it right here. Let me just show you. Take me to the tomb. He does a miracle to show the greater thing by way of the lesser thing. Jesus, here's what I need. Here's the cry of my heart. Can you do it? Jesus, my sin is very deep. Jesus, I'm entangled in it. Jesus, I'm bleeding. Can you do it? He does this miracle to show us that he can do it. See, they thought Jesus was special, but with limitations. Jesus was special, but there are certain limitations, kind of like our limitations. He can do some things, and he's pretty cool, and he's really shown some stuff, but in the end, can you really do it? They throw some things in his way. They say, well, what about this, Jesus? You weren't here. You have to be here to do something about it. Jesus says, no, I don't. They say, Jesus, well, hold on now. Here we are at the grave, and are you really sure you can do this now? Because he's been in there for how many days? For 4 days. And Lord, there's going to be an odor. Does that bother Jesus? It doesn't bother Jesus. They try to cast out these things. I call this the but what about game. My kids and I were here one weekend when Erica had gone to visit some relatives. And I said, kids, we were driving down the road. I said, let's go to Grandma's house. Grandma has food, I might add. But so let's go to Grandma's house. And they looked at me and said, what? I said, yeah, let's go to Grandma's house. They said, well, Dad, we haven't talked about this. I said, I know. I said, Dad, we haven't packed up any clothes. I said, you're wearing clothes, you know. She lives in Tennessee. And I said, you're wearing clothes right now. I said, Grandma has food and soap and towels. And I mean, she got everything we need. Let's just go to Grandma. But what about, we haven't planned for this. Jesus comes to your life and he says, I'm here. Well, Jesus, but what about this? Can you really do it, Jesus? But what about my job over here? He says, I want you for the mission field. I've got a mighty work that you're going to do in my name. You wouldn't believe it even if I told you what I was going to do. It's beyond what you would what you can even imagine or ask for. I want you to go. Jesus, what about my classes? Lord, what about my house? What about my neighbor? Jesus comes to you and says, I want you to spend a summer working with me. Or he comes to your life. He says, I want you to read through the Bible in a year. Whatever it is, he comes to your life and maybe he says, I'm here. I'm here again. Will you let me save you? But Lord, what about this? I really hadn't planned for this. This is the game that they're playing. Jesus says, open it up. Don't you love that? Jesus doesn't talk. He just says, hey, open it up. He cries out with a loud voice. When she says it's been 4 days, he doesn't go on. He just says, open, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus does come out. I promise you today, God doesn't give his promises without his power. He's not going to come to your life and promise to do something and leave your bag empty when it comes to needing his power. Can you do it? Yes, I can do it. My promises are true. I love the end of this, how Jesus looks at those on hand there and Lazarus comes out. He had to come bumbling out. I mean, he was wrapped up, foot and hand, and he couldn't see. His face was covered. I would have loved just to see how he came out, you know. He came hopping out or maybe rolling out. I don't know. But he comes out and Jesus looks at those around him and says, unbind him and let him go. I want to know, where did Lazarus go? Jesus said, let him go. Go where? I wonder what he did next. If he hugged them or, I don't know, if he shouted or if he got some deodorant, you know, he's been in there for 4 days. I don't know what he did. But would it have been terrible? Would it have been a tragedy if after he's unbound and he's out of those cloths and he's there he is in the daylight, if he looked around and he picked him back up, wrapped him back around himself, covered back over his head, and went back in the grave? What a tragedy. We've heard the words of Jesus this morning. He's allowed us to ask him the questions. God, are you there? Do you care? Are you for real? God, can you do it? Over and over, his answer has been a resounding yes, yes, yes. What a tragedy for me and you to decide we just want to walk out of here and continue our lives with the stench of death on us. We've heard the answers of Jesus, but it makes no difference to us. He loves you dearly. He loves you personally. He has walked this earth not as a spectator, not as a tourist, not as an observer. He has walked this earth as your Savior. He knows you, and he knows where you stand today. Wouldn't you let him stand with you? And wouldn't you let him go with you? Let me pray. In a moment, I'd like to give the church an opportunity to respond to what you've heard today from God's Word, or what you've sung today, or maybe what you came into this place already in your heart. This time of response is not magical, but it is an opportunity. We've asked the Lord 4 questions this morning. Each time he said yes to us. There may be someone here today whom he's waiting for you to say yes to him. Yes for salvation. Yes for repentance. Yes for reconnecting your spirit with his. Yes for prayer. Yes to confess a sin or to ask for a need. Yes. It's you and God. I cannot know what is in your heart. I cannot know what is in his heart for you. But friend, if you know, wow. Why would we walk back into the grave? Lord, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for trusting it to us. God, you're a God beyond imagination. There is no comparison to you in all the earth and in all time, God. There has been none who has stood next to you and been so magnificent. There is no false God who has ever laid into the dirt with those who are suffering besides you. There is none who has shared the tears and the snot and the pain of those he created besides you. We know we don't love you enough, God, but we ask you to help us to love you more. And if there's one here today, Jesus, I pray that your spirit and your power would be compelling enough to draw us to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing, and as we do, the floor is open for you to respond.